Hello, and welcome to Something New. It is time for our next one-shot. We've been really looking forward to this one since we found out about it. We are playing a pretty new system. This one just came out pretty recently, right, Hannah?
I think so. Let me look up the release date. It's not that... It's pretty recent.
I mean, you just got the book, right?
Yeah, I just ordered the book. It came out the end of March of this year, so March 2022.
Okay, yeah. So it's still pretty new. So we are playing the game Tales of Zadia, which is a tabletop role-playing game based on The Dragon Prince, which is a show that we are all somewhat obsessed with. Some of us more than others.
But we all love it.
But we all really enjoy it. Yes, it is so good. Highly recommend that you watch the show before you listen to this, because maybe spoilers?
Definitely spoilers.
Oh.
Definitely well spoilers. All right. So if you haven't listened through if you haven't watched through the third season of Dragon Prince, I would recommend you don't listen to this. Unless you don't care.
I'm going to try to not mention anything too specific about characters, but there are going to be some specifics about events that happen at the end of book three. So I'm going to try to not mention anybody specifically just to avoid like very overt spoilers, but we are going to be dealing with events that occur directly after book three ends.
So go watch. It's really good. And then come back here and listen to this. It's a pretty short watch. I think the seasons are only like nine episodes long.
That sounds about right. It's a really
I know the last
binge.
One is nine episodes long. So go watch it real quick and then come back here and listen to this. It is going to be a lot of fun. Hannah's going to be running this one because she is our certified Dragon Prince fanatic.
Yes. I can't tell you how many times I've watched and I've literally lost count.
And we wanted to say thank you for Direwolf, who is publishing this, for letting us play this game, because we asked them and they said that they were cool with it. So,
and that's the creators of the game, correct?
I don't think they're the original publishers, but they're the ones who own the game now. So,
yeah, so I originally went on Twitter and had added, like, I think the Dragon Prince Twitter and Fandom Tabletop, because they were the ones that owned it. But Direwolf reached out to me and said they are the new owners. They were super cool to talk with and gave us permission to publish this. So I just want to give them a shout out and say thank you for letting us play this game.
If you are new to our show, welcome. This show, this feed is mainly for the podcast Thornvale, which is an actual play Monster of the Week show where three monster hunters attempt to keep a small town off the coast of Florida safe, and all of the trauma and entertainment that comes from such things.
So much trauma.
So if you're new, hi, my name is Susanna. I am the keeper, that is the GM for our main show. I've run a couple of the other one shots we've done. We also have Hannah.
Hi, that's me.
Who is running this game, Andrew.
Hi, I am Andrew.
And Wesley.
Hi, that's me. I'm here.
So now you know all of our voices if you are new to the show.
Okay, so Tales of Zadia runs on a Cortex system. Cortex is brand new, I think, to all of us, right?
Yes.
Has anyone
played
Cortex before?
I don't think I've ever played anything like it.
I have never played using this system before. Nope.
Okay, so Cortex is kind of like similar to Powered by the Apocalypse, where it's like an engine that people can use to like make their own games. So this runs off of a Cortex system. I don't want to get too into the weeds with rules and stuff, because we'll kind of, you know, go over them as they come up in game naturally. But as like a brief overview, this has kind of like a step system. I think the only other game that we've played with like a step system was Earthdawn, but the step system in this game is a lot simpler. Like step one is a D4, step two is a D6, three is a D8, you know, and it just goes up to D12. So it just goes 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. So there will be times where different attributes might be stepped up, so you'll get a higher die, or stepped down and you'll get a lower die. So, like, for instance, like, a very easy challenge would be a challenge rating of a D4. A very hard would be a D12. I'm not going to explain these rules very well because we haven't actually played this system yet. So the characters all have different attributes, which are kind of like their physical things, like agility, strength, things like that. And then they have values, which are like glory and justice and liberty. And so those are kind of the core attributes that we're dealing with here. There's ones that are called attributes, and then there are ones that are called values. The characters also have distinctions. Their distinctions are kind of what define their characters, like their job and where they're from and things like that. And they can use all of those to help them in the story. They also have specialties and assets, which are going to help them with challenges and tests and things like that. How challenges and tests work is it's a game where you use a dice pool. But basically, whenever there's like a challenge or a test, they're going to tell me, I think I can use this attribute and this asset because, and if I'm like, yeah, that sounds right, they're going to grab those dice and make their dice pool, roll them, and then add the two highest dice to get like their number to pass the test, essentially. Does that sound accurate?
So kind of like, yep, when we were playing Spell and we had all of our attributes and we're saying like, I think I should use this for this thing and that thing.
Yeah.
But now we're just picking from a bunch of different types to add them together, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So the decisions on like what to use are very narrative driven. I can't be like, oh, this is a strength test. You know, like you can be like, hey, I think I can outwit this person and use your intellect instead. So it's up to like the characters, mm-hmm, and the players to choose what attributes and values they think fit the situation, which I really like.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's neat.
Another thing is kind of like in other systems, like the first one that comes to mind is masks, where there are emotional like status effects, like negative status effects and things like that. So this system has something similar, but it's called stress. And what stress does is it doesn't necessarily penalize your dice rolls, but it gives me more dice to roll against you. So like, let's say you have a D6 in injured, like that's where your stress rating for injured is at. Whenever you are doing a test and I have to make like an opposition roll against you, I gain an additional D6 because you have that stress rating. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We're all
so it doesn't
very happy
like,
Hannah's the GM here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't like penalize you, but it does give me an advantage against you. And then if any of your like stress ratings reach a D12, that essentially incapacitates you until you can get rid of some of that stress.
Okay.
All right.
That's the basic.
So deal with your stress. Don't let it build.
Yes. There are specific things you can do to clear stress and things like that. That's the basic basics. I hope that's all accurate. Anyone who's listening to the game listening and has played the game, if that's wrong, I'm sorry. We will learn along the way. This is our first time, so.
Yeah. We had a very short timetable to prepare.
Yes.
We were originally going to play a different game, and then this one got moved up like last minute, so.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're usually pretty narratively focused, right?
All right, so we will be playing actually the module or adventure, whatever you want to call it, that is in the book. And I am very excited about this. I read this story, and then there's two other small stories on the website, and I just could not resist the one that was in the book. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. So before we get into the story itself, I have some introductory kind of questions to ask the crew here about their characters so that we can meet the crew for this game. So,
okay.
I don't know who would like to start, but my first question is going to be, what's your character's name, pronouns, and a physical description?
All right. So, hello, Andrew again. I will be playing a character named Toleth, which is a Earthblood elf. So if you're familiar with the kind of the lore of the Dragon Prince series, they are the kind of the magic users of the world. So I'm an Earthblood elf, which means I'm really tied to the earth, either, you know, plants, animals, you know, rocks, soil, you know, that kind of thing. The Earthblood Elves are very diverse as far as like what their background is. So I'm playing a kind of a rocky type of Earthblood Elf. My character's pronouns are he, him. And as far as my physical description, he's got this kind of brown, rocky, craggy skin. Earthblood Elves kind of take on their, what they call like their home soil. So he is from kind of a mountainous region. So he's got this kind of dark, rocky, craggy skin. He's got these purple crystalline horns, because all elves have some kind of horns. And he's got purple eyes and shaggy brown hair. And ooh, he kind of has the obligatory cool looking like tattoo patterns on his like face and arms.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Susanna.
Hi, I'm playing Kefira. She is a Skywing elf. Have there been any Earthblood elves in the show?
No, not yet. Knowledge. Except unless you count okay. Callum's Earthblood elf disguise. Trees to meet you.
Right. That could be.
Well, there has been one Skywing elf from season 3. Yes. What was that character's name?
Nyx.
Nyx. Right. Yeah. Okay. So
I
if you've seen
the
show,
thought that we weren't going to talk about spoilers.
It's not spoilers.
Oh, that's true.
It's just a character that that's exists. Fair. I'm not telling you what context the character
that's
exists
fair.
In.
That's fair.
But yeah, I am a Skywing elf, and I happen to be one of the few that are able to grow wings, so I can fly, which I just. I never get to be the Dragon Knight, you know? They fly. I want to fly.
Yeah.
I'm going to interject for a second. With Skywing elves that have natural wings, their wings kind of attach instead of like between the shoulder blades, like is traditional. They're kind of attached like almost above their hip, like on the back, which I thought was interesting. They're more in like the middle than in like in between the shoulder blades, like is traditional.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I like that.
It's an interesting design choice. I have a light blue skin and a light gray long straight hair that kind of goes past my elbows. And I have dark blue horns. And I wear like a sort of like very lightweight, like kind of shell-like armor, basically. And
very nice.
My pronouns are she, her. Am I missing anything?
No, that's everything. At least for this first question. All right, Wesley?
Hello, everybody. It is me again, and I'm personally very excited about my character as well, because I will be playing a Sunfire Elf. They have been featured quite prominently in the show.
I love Sunfire they're cool. Elves. They're so badass.
They're so cool. That was like my second choice.
But, I will be playing a Sunfire Elf named Daraka. He is... as far as appearance, he stands at about 5'9". He's got this really deep, really dark color. Like, think of it like coal skin tone and very dark brown eyes. His horns, sort of like a chocolate brown in the midst of a rather unruly mess of like burnt blonde hair, like burnt gold, you know, think like that.
Caramel colored?
Yeah, you could say that. I was thinking it more like blonde, you know, like a warm blonde, but and then of course my pronouns for his character are he, him. And am I missing anything as far as description?
No, I think that's it. Just name, pronouns, description. So that's good for the first question. Yep. Let's go on to the second question, which is, what are your distinctions? I kind of touched on that earlier. You don't need to go into too much detail. Just tell us the names of them. So we'll start back with Andrew again.
All right. So my distinctions, I already brought up one of them, but I am an Earthblood Elf. That is my kindred distinction. My vocation or kind of like my job is Earthly Guide. So the way that basically this is my mage job. So the way that being a mage in this game works is your vocation is going to have an adjective and then a noun for what the vocation is, and you can either throw in the mage part of that as the adjective or the noun. So in my case, I'm an earth mage, so I did that as earthly, but my actual vocation was a guide. So I kind of helped guide people through these underground tunnels that like kind of crisscross beneath Zadia. And then my quirk distinction is Curious Wanderer. So my character is very curious about learning about the land around him, and he wanders. He likes to explore and just kind of basically kind of be almost like a solo nomad around the world. So
cool. Susanna?
My kindred is, as mentioned, a Skywing elf. And my vocation is insightful explorer.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm also an explorer type.
Yeah.
And then my quirk is destiny, a book I write myself.
Mm.
That's like my kind of philosophy on life, I guess.
All right, cool. Wesley?
Wow. I'm already seeing so many differences between those two and my own.
Yeah, your character's very different.
Yes, he is. And this is going to be so interesting. Because my distinctions, of course, as I mentioned, I am a Sunfire elf. That is my kindred. My vocation, actually, is a knight. I wrote it as strong-willed knight is what I wrote for that one. And then my last one, I'm really excited for this one. I didn't pick one from the book. I actually made this myself. I am a kind-hearted, I wrote kind-hearted powder keg.
That's a great name.
Which basically, the way I think of it is, if you are his friend, or if he goes to help you, he will bend over backwards. But of course, the last part, there are certain topics and such that you do not want to broach with him, because if you do,
He has
a rather short temper, and he will, things will happen. Just, yeah.
I'm excited to see these characters interact. Next question, and it's okay if you don't have an answer to this one, because the book specifically says you might not have answers to them yet. What are your value statements? Just to give a bit more clarity, value statements, like I mentioned, there's like six core attributes and six core values. So these value statements are kind of like how the character feels about each of these core values.
So my value statements, I'll just go value by value. I actually do have some for my character. Do you want me to say kind of what the level of my values are for like the die?
Sure.
Because that kind of explains why I wrote them the way I did. Okay.
Yeah, because the value statements kind of reflect how much regard you hold for that value, kind of.
Yeah. So I'll go kind of in a like top to bottom order. I'll go from the thing I care about the most to the thing I care about the least, instead of kind of in the,
okay,
the book order. So I have a truth of 10, and my value statement for truth is I aim to find the immutable truth behind all things.
Ooh.
Next, I've got liberty at 8. The life of the wanderer is the epitome of freedom. And devotion of 8, which is making new friends along the way is part of the fun.
I like that.
I have justice of 6. Nature is chaos and not all things end up on equal footing.
Mm.
Mastery 6. My skill at magic is important to hone. It has seen me through a scrape or two. And lastly, I have glory of 4. The world is too vast and ever changing to care about my legacy.
Wow, I like those a lot. That really says like a lot about your character, just in like six,
a couple
short,
short
lines.
Statements.
Really,
yeah, like that's what I really like about having a value statement tied to the values, is it gives you the chance to kind of think about what your character cares about. Because like I immediately knew like I don't care about like what people think about me, so I knew glory was going to be low, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Susanna, did you write any value statements?
No, but my brain steadfastly refused to do a lot of things when I was building this character, and I did not get to that one. I was just like, the book says I don't have to do it.
It's okay.
But I can tell you like my, where I sit.
Your die value, dice value?
The value. Yeah, the dice values. There's a lot of words that have the word value in it. It's confusing. But yeah, so I have a devotion of 6, a glory of 8, a 4 of justice, a 8 of liberty, a 6 of mastery, and a 10 of truth.
Very nice.
So
we have two people very high in truth.
A snapshot.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I think our characters are very similar.
Yeah.
Like
it's
a lot
okay.
of the
you
stuff he was saying, I was like,
sets.
We're going to get along real well.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I sense I'm going to be the odd person out here, and it's going to be so interesting.
Yes, it's fine. It's okay.
All right. Let me talk about my values here and statements. I actually do have some that I wrote for mine. I'll just go around first for dice values. I have an 8 for devotion, a 6 for glory, a 10 for justice, a 6 in liberty, an 8 in mastery, and a 4 in truth.
All right, and what are your statements that you do have?
Under devotion, I have, my liege's word is law. I am the shield of my people always and forever.
Very Sunfire Elf.
Under glory, honor and glory in defending the innocent. They are things you give yourself. None can take them away. Under justice, any wrong done to my comrades will be dealt with without compromise. Liberty, freedom is a life lived fully without regret. Mastery, I have, use your gifts to help others always. Follow the path you believe in, and don't let fear stop you. And truth, truth is what you make it. My truths are my own.
Ooh, that's gonna conflict, I feel like, with them a lot.
Yeah, I can tell.
Two very truth-focused characters.
Yep.
With and Wesley's truth is a D4, so yep. Like you guys have your highest in truth and his lowest is in truth. This is great.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love that.
It's really interesting having this kind of system, because I can already see, like, even with Andrew and Mai's character, like, your lowest was in glory, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And one of my highest was in glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, we're very similar characters, but obviously we're looking for something
different things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of the things in your character journal, because we're actually using Tales of Zadia, has a lot of great online tools that, like, let you just jump into the game. And one of the things, instead of having, like, a character sheet, it's called a character journal. And in your journal, you can put goals and things like that that you have during the adventure. So I was wondering if you guys have any goals. What are they? I know we haven't really started the adventure, because you kind of make them as you go. But if you currently have any goals, what are they?
I do have a goal.
Oh, I do have.
I actually have no goal. So my character is just a wanderer. So, I mean, like I brought up in, like, the vocation or the distinctions part, you know, his past job was kind of guiding people through the tunnels below Zadia as this kind of rocky, you know, earth blood elf. And, you know, he still does that from time to time, but he kind of focuses more on just his own personal travels of, like, seeking out, you know, what he can learn about the world and just seeing everything he can see and exploring. So he kind of focuses on that, but there really is no end goal there other than to learn as much as he can. There's nothing specific. So.
Okay, cool. Susanna, what's your goal? You said you had one.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So for the Skywing Elves in the book, it tells you a little bit about their history and some, like, major events. And one of the major events is that there used to be, I think, like, a bunch of elves lived on the back of a giant, what was it called? A seraph swan?
I don't know. I didn't.
I think is the name of the thing.
I believe that is correct,
and,
yes.
They were known as the Featherborn. They were flightless elves that lived on the back of a seraph swan. Both of my, like, stories of my thing were, we lived somewhere high and then it broke. That's both
that
of our stories.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Anyways. So this swan somehow lost all of its feathers. I think they may have been, like, I think it may have been attacked or something, but lost all of its feathers and died or something. And there is a legend. That's why this is all very sort of legend. It's an old legend. It's a little unclear exactly how it works, but there's a legend that if you can find all the feathers, you can bring this creature back. And my character is obsessed with bringing this creature back, and she's going to find all the feathers. And in the meantime, she's going to write books about her travels.
That's awesome. I love that. That's such a great tie-in to, like, the Skywing Elf lore. Like, that's great.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Wesley, does your character currently have any goals?
Oh, do I have goals? Ooh, yeah. I got them.
I asked that knowing that you do, but I want you to.
This is officially the point where, as mentioned.
Now, I will say, I know you have a lot of goals. Let's make it brief.
I know this is just saying once again, if you've not,
are you asking Wesley to be brief?
Yes.
Ouch.
I know.
Okay, that hurt my soul.
It's not an insult,
it's just a statement of fact.
Once again, if you have not seen up to the current season, stop listening right now. Okay,
try not to mention anything too specific, like, about characters. You can mention events.
Well, yeah, this is not character specific, this is more event related. I have carry out the will of my queen, atone for my failure. See the Sunforge restored.
Ah, cool. Mm-hmm. I love the way that ties into the lore of the show as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so now we're going to get into more of the story, kind of setting us up for where this adventure begins with this last question. I want to know where your character has been the past few days. Because those who aren't familiar with the Dragon Prince, like if you haven't watched the show, there is, you know, this vast country. And there's the five human kingdoms, and then there's Zadia. And Zadia is the land of magic and elves. And they have been at war with each other for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this war has kind of come to a head, especially in the last couple days at the end of book three. So I want to know where your characters have been these past couple of days. We'll start again with Andrew.
When exactly is this taking place? Immediately afterwards?
Immediately.
Like a few days after?
Okay. Immediately. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So real quick then, Hannah, this is going to be the thing you and I talked about, right?
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
Cool. So Tolith, he was kind of just wandering through a town somewhere and kind of heard about this corruption of the Sunforge. And he decided that he was going to use his talents as a guide to try and help evacuate people. So he actually traveled to Lux Aria, the capital, and he was just kind of trying to do his part to help people get away and, you know, find a better fortress or stronghold or city to kind of hold out in while that corruption was going on. So he has been kind of ferrying people back and forth. So I guess he's just generally in that area of Zadia right now.
All right, Susanna, where's Kefira been?
Kefira was around the location of where this large battle took place. And she ran into a human army and was surprised. But they didn't seem hostile. Also surprising. And she offered to take them to the location of where this battle was going to take place. And so she basically acted like Tolith as a guide. But she didn't want to be like involved, shall we say, in the battle. So she took them there and then peaced out and got a safe enough distance away and has been documenting it, just watching the battle and writing about it, basically. So I had been sort of documenting this this battle and how things were going. And as it ended, I saw a dragon fly off. It almost looked like it was being like drawn to something. And I would like to know what interests a dragon. So I followed it.
All right, so Wesley?
Please correct me if I am wrong at any point, Hannah, because you and I discussed this a bit. Wow, the last couple days have been quite an event for my character, because as my character, Duraka was raised actually within the, within Lux Aria, within the capital city. He was a knight present there during the events of Season 3, The Corruption of the Sunforge. He failed to defend the queen when it came to it, and he was absolutely heartbroken over it, and in order to atone for this, he went to her sister, he went to Junai, and said, "There is nothing I can do, basically, but anything you ask of me, I will do. Tell me, and I'll do it." And so he is now one of her guards. And so he has been sticking by her throughout this whole thing, which means that he most probably would have been at the Battle of the Stormspire just like she was.
Yeah, he would have been actively involved in the battle at the Stormspire.
Yeah, yeah. So he is basically waiting on the word of the new queen in everything he does. He is the most loyal soldier you could possibly imagine.
And he is recently headed back to Lux Aria, correct?
Yes. Recently he has been ordered, I believe, to assist in evacuations of civilians within Lux Aria. So he's been sent back to assist.
All right. Anything else you guys think I should describe about Zadia or the world or anything like that before we dive in? I think we're ready to start.
Yeah,
I think we've covered
the basics. Yeah,
this relies so heavily on you kind of having seen the show, And really, please watch the show.
Please don't want to spoil watch the show.
If nothing else,
have spoilers.
It's well worth it. It's such a good show.
So you'll kind of know about the land as we go along, but you can kind of talk about things as we go along.
Okay.
Oh, I just forgot something. I forgot to tell everyone I have an animal companion.
Oh, I do too. I just figured it would come up as we went along.
Yeah, but I want to say it now because okay. I'm excited about it.
Okay.
So I have.
I love your animal.
My animal is something called a kookaburra. So it is a bird that has a big kind of shovel-shaped beak that it uses to like dig its nest in the earth. So I have a kookaburra companion named Beryl that follows me around and is friends with me. And specifically, it's one of my assets. One of the assets in the base book is called Occasionally Loyal Cat. And I fell so much in love with that I decided to make it an Occasionally Loyal Kookaburra instead.
I love that. That's fantastic.
I love it so much.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Wesley, don't lose your mind when I say what this tale is called.
Okay.
But we're going to be playing The Tale of the Corrupted Core.
Oh.
Oh, my. Oh, man. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that very much.
So we're going to start with Toleth.
Okay.
Toleth, you are standing in the lush green fields of northwestern Zadia. The human lands are to your west, and to your east is the towering city of Luxaria. And you pause to consider, you know, the past couple days' events. It's been a lot helping all of these people escape the city.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give a kind of description of the atmosphere here. Luxaria is the pride and joy of the Sunfire Elves. It's the capital of their people. It's a gleaming city of gold, or at least it was. Now the land is dark and awash with an ominous red glow. At the center of the city, where there's this tall golden tower, the top holds the Sunforge. The Sunforge is the nexus of the Sun Primal, which is the main power source of the Sunfire Elves, both physically and spiritually. And what was a radiant orb, almost like a small sun, is now a pitch black sphere corrupted by dark magic. An orange and green dragon circles around the tower and loops around the city, roaring in what sounds like pain as it breathes fire into the sky. And as you're standing here, Toleth, you see a lone elf come over the hill that looks vaguely familiar to you.
Okay. Do I have to maybe assess this, or could I just go over and talk to this person? Like, how far away are they, I guess, is my question.
They're not too far from you. You're standing kind of nearby a wooded area, and they've just come over, like, a hill close to you.
Okay. What kind of elf is it?
A Skywing elf.
Is it a female Skywing elf?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I think I need to share something, if you don't mind me sharing something.
No,
Hannah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, for people who haven't listened to Thornvale, something we forgot to say at the top is that Susanna and I are married in real life.
Oh, yes.
yes.
Yeah. And we were like making characters for this game, and we were just kind of talking about our characters, and Susanna threw the idea out of like, oh, you know, we don't necessarily have to know each other, but what if our characters like grew up being pen pals or something? So maybe when we were like really young, we've seen each other, but we haven't like seen each other much, if at all, as adults. So this would be just kind of like a chance meeting, running into my pen pal in the middle of the woods or the plains like this.
Yeah.
But you said vaguely familiar, so maybe I don't quite know who it is at first.
They're probably a little bit of a distance away that you can't quite be certain.
Yeah. So I see this Skywing elf, and Toleth, he probably is like, I think it's pretty clear he's probably not in the middle of a run ferrying people through these tunnels, if he's above ground for sure. Is he like close to the city? Would this be like the side where I'm like starting to get people away, or am I like on the other end after I've already moved people through a tunnel?
You would be pretty close to the gates at this point.
Okay.
The city at this point is pretty much empty. Most everyone has already left. There's just some stragglers behind at this point.
Okay. Okay. So I think that Tolith is probably just like kind of on his way back to the gates to see if there's anybody else looking for help. I think he probably knows that like it's starting to trickle out and there's less people leaving. So I think he's just making sure there's nobody else that needs help, and he's maybe just heading back towards the city gates. And I think the fact that this person is vaguely familiar makes him curious, because that's what he is. So he wants to go find out who this is, and he starts to approach.
Yeah, Kefira, you see an elf blood.
Earth blood.
Or elf blood.
Yep. Elf blood.
Earth blood elf start to walk towards you.
This is the dragon in the sky, the one I was chasing.
Correct.
I'm probably not paying attention to him then.
That's fair.
Okay, then maybe you don't see the Earthblood elf approaching.
I have probably like sat down on the grass because I don't want to get like super close because this dragon is intimidating. And so I sit down on the grass and I have like a notebook and I'm like sketching it.
Ah.
I'm like sketching the scene in front of me and writing little notes on the other side of the page.
Now, to be clear, you weren't really fast enough to follow closely a dragon flying through the sky, but you have tracked it here.
Yes, and now you've caught up to it. Yeah, so I caught up to it now.
And I can see it well enough now here sitting on this like hill area. And so I'm just like, ah, this is a perfect place. I'm going to sketch this. And so she's sat down and she is just looking up at the sky, like sketching this and looking down her notebook and totally does not notice Tolith appear.
Mm-hmm. So Tolith probably completely sneaks up on you then.
Yeah. I think you probably like sneak up. Do you like tap me on the shoulder or something?
Well, I think he probably would like call out. He doesn't know who you are yet. So like he, you know, he's probably just going to call out like a greeting and he's just going to say, hello there.
Yeah, you, you see me jump. And not only do I jump, but around my neck, there had been what looks like a necklace made out of like white and blue paper, which suddenly springs to life and runs across my shoulders, and you see the tiniest little papery dragon.
Oh.
And it, like, squeaks and hisses at you.
Oh.
In anger, and I nearly, like, fall over.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you there.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, Tolith!
Oh! Hey, Kefira. What a surprise meeting you here.
Yeah, same.
I didn't know you were in the area.
And she starts, like, running her hands over the scales of this little tiny papery dragon. And she's, come down, Zuni.
Yeah.
This is Zundura. It's a Zuni for short.
Oh, nice to meet you, Zuni.
And it probably continues hissing at you.
Yeah. Beryl is just kind of, like, you know, following behind me. I assume it's a bird, so I guess it flies, but...
Andrew, is it Beryl, like, a thing you hold things in, or Beryl, like, the gem?
The gem.
Okay. I thought so, but I had to...
I'm very crystal-focused, so I went with the gem. Yeah. That is fair. It could have been the other one, so... Yeah, Tolith is just kind of looking at you, and he just says, it's a small world. I'm surprised. But all things considered, I guess this is where everything's happening right now.
Well, I suppose this sort of thing sort of pull people together.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I finish up?
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. You've been okay? How have things been?
Well, things have been all right.
And then he'll probably just kind of step back and let you do your drawing because he doesn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah. And she's going to finish up this drawing and then kind of slap close the book and stand up and look at him.
Well, what have you been up to?
Not too much. I've just been, you know, exploring and kind of moving around Zadia, seeing what I can see and learning, you know, about some of the far reaches I haven't been to yet. But, you know, I just was, I heard what happened in Lux Aria and just, I knew I needed to help.
It's, quite the event here.
Yeah. And he looks like kind of concernedly over towards the city.
So you guys are situated pretty close to the gates at this point. And so kind of over the same hill Kefira came from comes kind of like a small group of obviously Sunfire elf soldiers and people who have been in the battle you probably heard about. And Wesley, Daraka would be in this group.
Okay.
That is now cresting the hill. And you might be interested in seeing why these two people are camped out here. Maybe get some information about what's been going on, I would think.
Certainly if they're just seeming to stand there and not really do much of anything, and considering what has happened, yeah, I'd say all the soldiers are looking out for anything suspicious. So from a distance, they might see one of the soldiers point towards them, and the whole group starts to move slowly in their direction.
I think they've seen us.
Yes, I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I've been helping ferry people out of the city, so.
And
they're probably just curious, like we are.
She's zoned out watching the dragon again.
And Hannah, this, obviously I am not the only one in the group, but who is the leader? Would it happen to be me or somebody else in the group?
It's not. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
It's probably just you coming over because I think the other knights and things like that are going to start going into the city, going into the gates. I think you guys have all had a plan at this point that you're just going to go into the city and help where you can. So your group is probably splitting up at this point.
Okay. Yes, he knows he was told to join them, which he will do, but he sees these two and they look a bit out of place. So they might see a singular elf break away and head towards them. And one thing they might notice, probably very obviously, about this elf versus the others in the crew, his armor is not in the usual color. All the others have the traditional Sunfire armored getup, lots of gold and red and, you know, very obvious sorts of colors in that scheme, but they see what appears to be a black armored elf coming toward them.
Yes, very interesting. So I think Tolith is just kind of like watching as this elf approaches. And once you get closer, he's just going to say, hello, is there something we can do for you?
G'day.
And he steps up and then just like out of like rather aggressively, he goes, what is your business here?
Was watching the big dragon.
I was in between ferrying groups of refugees out of the city and was just on my way back when I ran into my friend here.
And he kind of takes a step back and he's like, oh, you are Tolith, yes?
Oh, you've heard of me.
Well, I had heard rumor, actually. I never officially met you, but Seems descriptions were correct.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just trying to do my part.
Not a lot of earth blitz, Rennie.
Well, then, in that case, I suggest that we both start moving toward the city. And he turns and heads off. He's not really watching to see if they follow. He's like, okay, I checked you out. You guys are cool. You know, I got work to do.
Yeah. Goes about his business. I think Tolith is just kind of like looking down at Kefira, and he just says, so you're curious about this dragon.
You could say that.
Well, I mean, you want a closer look, you're welcome to join.
I suppose I will.
I must say, I'm actually very curious myself. That dragon wasn't here on my last trip, so this is new to me too.
And the big old sunspot they've got in there normally, that wasn't dim last time?
No, that I saw on some... my first trip, but no, the dragon's new.
Well, I guess we should go check it out.
Wesley, does Daraka kind of take offense to Kefira implying that the Sunforge has always been like this?
Oh, I thought he was
I think he walked away.
Well, I figured they were kind of following, so he would still be within earshot.
Okay, yeah. If he's within earshot and hears that, implying that it always was this way, he just, it's like a switch has been flipped. He turns around very suddenly. And he goes, what did you say?
Was asking about your sunspot over there. It's kind of dark now.
He's visibly taking a deep breath because he's consoling himself with the fact that these are outsiders. They do not understand. I am physically restraining myself from becoming violent in this moment because he...
You shouldn't wrap me up with her. I didn't say nothing.
Hey, you're...
And she, like, leans over and whispers to Tolith,
touchy subject.
Yes, very clearly.
Oh, well, mate, I haven't spent a lot of time already.
Yeah, he turns back and he's still walking, but they hear him as he goes on. He says,
"It was once the jewel of this city, and it shall be again, on my word."
And Andrew, this kind of confuses Tolif a little bit, because he's been around, you know, the city for a few days now, and he's heard kind of like the rumors going around the city. And I'm actually gonna message you something, some information to pass on to the other two that you've discovered over the past couple days.
Okay.
I'm gonna send you kind of like a quote. You don't have to say it verbatim, but this is just like the gist of the information.
The gist of what I know, yeah.
I saw Andrew's eyebrows go like...
Yeah. Yeah, so... So yeah, Tolith is, you know, he's heard the rumors. I think he's been kind of avoiding the subject because it's very, very concerning. But there's a reason that he's been ferrying people away, and he's been trying to make sure that he gets people as far away from the city as he can. And as we're all kind of approaching the city again, Tolith just says, "I think that you probably haven't heard the rumors there." And he doesn't even know Daraka's name yet, I don't think. So he just says, "You know, I don't think you know the rumors, but the saying in town is that the Sunforge is about to blow, and that if it does, or when it does, it may take all of Zadia with it. People are trying to flee as fast as they can before that happens."
Okay, Fira's eyes go a little wide and look up at the big thing, and it's just a little slows down a bit.
I don't think he even turns his head. He's just looking up towards this dim reddish glow, and he's just, as he continues on, one foot in front of the other, and he says just to himself, he's like, "There is always a way. Always another way. We'll find a way." And he's keeping going, and he's, yeah, he doesn't really respond directly to you, but he's rather single-minded in this idea.
I think Kefira kind of nudges Tolith and says, "What do you want to say, 10-1 odds, he blows himself up?"
I think Tolith kind of looks at you, like, not, like his eyes kind of dart over towards you, and he's just kind of, like, trying to make, like, a sympathetic gesture towards Daraka. I think he sees that it's not really getting through, and he just says, "You know, some jokes are better hold close. It's probably not the right time for that."
to me?
She just kind of gives a shrug. Okay.
No, he's kind of saying this just to her.
I was like,
yeah.
"Do you want your head caved in?"
No, he's trying to tell her that, like, "Hey, like, be careful." Like,
jokes about him exploding.
Yeah. He probably wouldn't appreciate that joke right now. It's not really a good time.
We're walking, like, towards the city with the thing that's going to blow up, right?
Yeah.
Right now we are, yeah. Yep.
All right, cool.
That's correct.
Because right now I think, like, for example, like, my character thinks that there's still time to, like, get people away, so I'm trying to help, but I do know, I'm aware that the city could blow.
Well, I'd say we better get closer to look at that thing. Just, right quick. What do you think?
I mean, maybe. I'm definitely not the first one to shy away from learning something new, but this, there is a lot of risk here.
Well, you're not wrong about that, but don't think there's a better time. Mm. And she's gonna start walking faster towards the horrible explodey thing.
Well, towards the city gates, at least.
Oh, boy.
But I think that's a good place to leave it for our first kind of, like, introductory episode.
Oh, all right. Man.
Yeah, good.
Very cool.
Oh, I love this world so much. It's great.
So good.